Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Odyssey celebrates Memorial Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
Basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-court stripe.
Ford sends it to Kareem. Skyhook.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille, fadeaway.
Yes! Giants for the win! Bang!
James puts up the three.
Oh, it's good!
Doncic on the drive. Step back, puts it up. Puts it in! With 5/10 of a second remaining!
What's up, Laker fans? Hope you liked the new intro. Thank you so much to the great Jack Perkins for the inspiration. Each clip follows his amazing cover art with one of my old band's songs underneath it. You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius and Dee. Might be a new intro for a new era as we talk about a topic we've never talked about before here on this pod, which is, will LeBron James be back with the Lakers next year? The whole premise of the Lakers having cap space this summer is built around LeBron's cap hold not being on the books. They can arrive at that a couple of different ways. His rights could get renounced. They could come to a deal before that happens, and then that would take place of his cap hold, D. But all of this is uncharted territory, and I wanted to talk about all of the kind of machinations of that with you, D. So I kick that idea to you. When you think about LeBron's free agency this summer, what do you think people need to know?
Yeah, this is really the most pivotal part of the Lakers offseason that is in-house. Mm-hmm. In reworking their team, the Lakers are going to have to explore a bunch of options that are outside of the Lakers organization. The degree to which they're in on Giannis as a primary, the degree to which they're in on Giannis as a third or even a fourth team, possibly depending on how big the deal gets, whether or not they decide to be a player in restricted free agency or general free agency or absorb contracts via trade. These are all conversations they're going to have with other organizations, with other teams' decision makers, and that'll be that. LeBron is on their team now, and the dialogue that they've been having with him for 8 years now is both banked in terms of a relationship that's established, but also in unfounded territory,
yeah,
with his contract actually expiring, with no team options, no player options,
yeah,
no decisions to be made. He will be a free agent. And what are you going to do?
And on top of that, this is the first time in what will be his 24th season that he's not going to get whatever contract he wants unless it's dictated by the rookie scale. That was the first contract, yeah, that he signed. But every other contract he's ever signed has been a no duh, we're giving you the max. And, you know, are there player options? What version of this do you choose? You know,
it's interesting that you said that because you're correct, but also technically not.
Uh-huh.
When he went to the Heat.
Right, he took a little bit less. But what I'm saying is that was his choice though, right?
Yes, it was his choice. But that's honestly the framework that the Lakers will be operating under, in that whatever your max is, you're not getting it from us.
Yes, but in the Miami case, like, all of that was built around because
it was built around building the best team that they could make in that moment, which was with LeBron as the best player.
Yes, but alongside LeBron too. Like, these are guys LeBron wanted. This was a trio that LeBron wanted, right? And that's a big distinction here, D, is that I think the Lakers offseason is not going to be driven by LeBron, really, for the first time on any team he's ever been on.
It can't be driven by LeBron, even if he's their most critical free agent. Since the Lakers season ended and we've gone into offseason mode, I had sent you a text and I said, this is the part I'm not going to miss. And it was in reference to the dialogue around LeBron being in the middle of this media storm of hot takes flying in every direction from every angle. Apologists or super fans feel pejorative. LeBron's earned a respect from a certain class of media person where he is defended by them very strongly. He's also become the target of people on the other side of that who understand that there's money to be made or a piece of the media ecosystem to be carved out by people who are going to be less generous to LeBron.
How much money has Skip Bayless made off of LeBron's name just being a dickhead? Yeah.
Stephen A's pivot in the last 2 years as well has largely been of this as well. And on the other side of that, I would argue that Nick Wright is someone who takes up for LeBron very well and very smartly. Jason Timpf's been on our pod a bunch. Jason's a longtime LeBron fan.
Right. It's both. It's like either people that are going to stand for him.
When I said this is the part I'm not going to miss, it was not those names necessarily, but it was just this buzz around what's LeBron going to do? And, oh, well, of course the Lakers should do this. But you could literally be Harvey Dent because one side of the face is saying one thing and the other side of the face is saying the other thing. But both of them are speaking with the same amount of conviction.
And it's told entirely from the LeBron perspective. That's been one thing about sort of this topic of will LeBron be back? I've found that so much of the discussion has been around like LeBron's perspective and what LeBron wants, which has been, again, entirely what his whole career of free agency has been. And I felt like the Lakers version of it and the Lakers perspective has been a bit undertold.
It's still a players' league. Keeping your best players happy and what do your best players want? The NBA is almost always going to be viewed through that lens regardless. A player has to woefully underperform or be a restricted free agent for that viewpoint to be flipped. No one's asking what Jalen Duren wants right now in the aftermath of Detroit getting eliminated in Game 7 as the number one seed at home. And Duren just playing a playoffs where he underperformed relative to his regular season. And in the second round of the playoffs, averaged fewer than 10 points a game. Pete, for a guy who averaged double that during the regular season. So no one's going into the offseason saying, okay, well, here come Jalen Duren's demands. But LeBron, he's at the stage of his career where the Lakers part of this discussion being undertold and underdiscussed or underrepresented within conversations, I think is very much accurate. But it's 23 plus years of muscle memory from media talking about LeBron in a way where it's just like, well, of course he's powerful. And even
He's now, still got power. It's just not what it was.
I almost want to take an early break here because the pivot in the conversation to me is how much power should LeBron actually have within the context of his play?
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Odyssey celebrates Memorial Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The beautiful thing about planning for LeBron at any other point in his career, even I would even say like 2 or 3 years ago before he turned 40, was the theory of he could be an all-NBA level player for the next X number of years. And NBA contracts are so much shorter now. This isn't the era of Kevin Garnett getting a 7-year contract or Joe Smith getting a 7-year contract. Almost every long-term contract now, the most it's going to be is 5 seasons. And most contracts now are 3 years. And the decision-making on it is so much faster. So even 3 years ago, you could say, we're just going to pay LeBron the max for 3 more seasons because we think he's going to be worth the max for 3 more seasons. And I would argue that this year was the first year where, because of the injury to start the year, and then because of his role shift during the regular season in the last third of the season, that it became apparent that whatever LeBron does in the future, it's not going to be at the max, and it's not going to be for multiple years. And that, to me, is a pivot point in power that we were discussing earlier. And then, Pete, everyone got hurt around him. And he had to lead the Lakers back as the number one guy into the playoffs. And then they won a round.
With him as the dude.
With him as the dude. And then in the second round, he acquitted himself well enough as the top option on a team that they got swept, but the Lakers were in it every game until they weren't. But I thought that he acquitted himself well. And so I thought he pulled some of that power back in the postseason. But I'm wondering how it all evens out in the end. And that idea of the underrepresented perspective of the Lakers, I think this is where it comes into the fold as being like, no, it needs to be represented stronger now because their opinion is much more pertinent now.
Yeah. Both in terms of action and words have very much been like, we're building this team around Luka and what Luka needs. And if they're determining that LeBron is part of that, it's based off of Luka in the first place, right? And again, that's just an entire paradigm shift. The question I go to, D, is like, all right, if you're going to replace LeBron, what does that look like, right? There's this untold, or there's this unsaid sort of like, oh yeah, they're going to have all this cap space this summer. And yeah, man, LeBron's going to go, right? It's sort of like, by the way, LeBron's not going to be there, but they've got all this cap space and they're going to make these trades. And at the end of it, they're going to have this much better team, right? That it's hard to imagine that the Lakers lose LeBron and then get better. So what does that look like if you are going to replace LeBron? And kind of the simple answer I've landed on is that replacing LeBron is sort of replacing LeBron's salary, the $55 million that he's had. And to me, that is either replacing him with another superstar caliber type of player or two really good starters. I believe the Lakers are trending more toward the two starters in depth type of approach. I don't actually agree with this. I think I'm in a minority opinion of like, I thought it was the Lakers' top guys that were not able to generate enough offense, including LeBron, including Austin, against OKC. And not just during that series, but during the regular season as well. But of course, we've got Luka coming back as well. But I think that even beyond that, like the top level offensive talent, I think what it does is it generates quality looks for everybody else and improves that. But what say you on that idea of like, let's entertain the notion that, okay, LeBron's lost some power. The Lakers have been looking to sort of use this offseason as a chance to rebuild, but it's all predicated on LeBron not being on a max deal. He could be back as one of those two good starters, right? You get LeBron back at a cheaper price, then add somebody else. Is that a championship team? If we just add one more starting caliber player and then hope for better health this year? I don't personally think so, but I'm curious where you stand on just this idea in the first place of like, what would it look like to replace LeBron?
This is like 17 pods worth of a discussion, honestly. We're going to have a bunch of opportunities to flesh out this idea. Almost every iteration of the team that I'm trying to build next year has LeBron on it.
Interesting.
And maybe I'm in the minority on that. If I were to represent that idea in a conference room at the Lakers facility, I might be very much in the minority of that.
That might be the only room you're not in the minority in. I think that when you look, you know, in just terms of the public conversation, I think this is assumed a little bit more that he'll be back a little bit more than I believe is reality, but we'll see.
Yeah. And I'm not basing this off of informed opinion. I'm basing it off of building the best Lakers team I can next season, And I think that on some degree, I don't think LeBron is someone who you can just cast away and replace how good he is in so many different facets of the game and be better just by getting multiple players.
Totally agree with that, D. My biggest concern about this, I'm curious your perspective on this, is would the Lakers be able to replace LeBron after next season if they brought him back, right? Because this is the last year we get the benefit of Austin's cap hold, like a lower number for Austin, right? So you can build a team and go over the cap after you sign Austin at the end of it in a way that if Austin's making whatever he's going to make this summer, going to be a way bigger number. Say LeBron signs for $20 million, $25 million, something like that. He's off the books at the end of this season. Are we just armed with an MLE at that point?
You are, but the MLE is going to be within $4 to $4.5 million of what LeBron's salary is at $20 million. And so when you're talking about functionally replacing LeBron from a salary slot standpoint, you can get pretty close. If you're under the first apron, you could also do it with the biannual exception and the mid-level exception, which is what the Lakers did this last season when they signed three players. They split up the MLE between Ayton and Jake, and they gave Marcus the biannual exception. It's called the biannual exception because you can only use it every other season. You can't use it every season. And ta-da, next offseason, they'd be able to use it again.
And I believe the Lakers were the only team in the league that actually used it. It was actually pretty crafty how they were able to get to that.
Yeah, and it's because that salary slot is not quite the tax MLE, but it's more than what the veteran minimum is for very senior players, players of 10 years plus. I think the veteran minimum is about $3.5 million and Marcus made 5.1 or something like that. So it's not quite the tax MLE, but you're making more than the minimum and that's how we're going to get you. And I think the Warriors did something very similar with Al Horford in that they gave him a piece of their tax MLE or piece of their MLE in order to sign him. We've gone astray a little bit, Pete, but my point is that I'm trying to build the best version of the Lakers next season with a combination of what do we want to bring back from this year's team? What do we want to trade off of this year's team? And can the Lakers leverage their position in the marketplace to bring back the players that they want at a reasonable enough rate while also then getting at least one starting level player who you trust to play four rounds in the playoffs? That's a very narrow path to walk. I think the path gets wider if the less money LeBron makes, honestly.
For sure. And we'll talk about that in a second because everything hinges on LeBron's reaction to all of this dynamic in a lot of ways. But on a fundamental level, pick your starter, whoever you think it could be. For one, I don't think that what you're saying is implausible. I think that that is not such a narrow path that I do think they could add one starter to basically this same group and come back next year and give it another shot. Do you believe in that, though? Do you believe in that trio? Is that what you want to build off of?
I don't believe in bringing back this year's team, adding one player to it and saying that that's enough. Okay. Because I actually think that the Lakers need a player to push down Marcus and a player to displace Ayton. And if they could do both, I think that they'd be very well positioned. I don't know if they can do both.
Yeah, that was part of what impressed me about last summer is that they were armed with the MLE and they had two starters to fill. I'm like, I don't think you could get one starter for an MLE. And they did end up getting two. And so who ends up getting bought out and all of this, you know, what the pressures, what the financial pressures that we've talked about last couple of pods, how that shakes out. We don't know what we don't know on some level. But the picture that you're painting, D, it's a little bit daunting of like, keep LeBron, get somebody to replace DA, somebody to push down Marcus or at least split the duties. Let's go to break here. Come back and talk about it.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Odyssey celebrates Memorial Day, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
If it was easy, anyone could do it.
Yeah.
Right? It's not easy to build a championship-level team. Rob framed it appropriately where he's like, look, the hardest part is getting that first player. We have that first player. Great. The next hardest part, though, is filling in all of the gaps on the team to optimize your best player with the sorts of players that your best player optimizes through his own play, right? That it's this reciprocating relationship. It's symbiotic. And the Mavs got close with the team that they built that got to the finals. I thought, though, they did not have that third player. And like when Luka was like not all the way peak, and Kyrie wasn't good enough at all, they did not have that third guy that they could turn to. And this is like the beauty of a team like the Thunder. First of all, Shea is rarely compromised. But if he is, then they're able to go to Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams. And then when Jalen Williams wasn't even there, they were able to go to like AJ Mitchell, and he scored enough against the Lakers. This is the challenge of building a great team.
The second guy, the second guy responsibilities with OKC are distributed amongst several players, which is great. I don't think the Lakers have that luxury. I also think that in that framework you were talking about with Dallas, had Kyrie just been able to sustain, been good, I think that second guy next to Luka has to be a dude. I think you need to play two dragon basketball where it's we've got Luka and we've got this other guy that there's a level of unstoppability between both of them. And then if Austin is on that team as well, I think you have maybe the greatest drive and kick team of all time. Like you can, I think to win a championship, you have to be great at what you do. And if we watch and we're right about to watch a great conference finals between OKC and San Antonio, I'm super excited about that. I feel like if we watch that series and be like, gosh, I wish we could be like them. Let's try to build a team like them and be, have a bunch of depth and play a similar style. We'll just be a worse version of what they are. I think what the Lakers need to do is to sort of find that niche of who they are. And so like when you were talking to me about building that team around Luka and what he needs and all of that to bring it back to LeBron, do you feel like that describes him?
I'm interested to see what a season-long month of March looks like for the Lakers. They're not going to just lose 10 games over the course of a season. I'm not talking about sustaining their peak. But when you said OKC is built in a way where the duties of their second best player are distributed amongst multiple guys, I thought about Austin and LeBron in that LeBron, at this stage of his career, does he still have the on-ball juice? Not as much. He's got a ton of post-up juice, honestly, and he's still got a ton of transition juice, and he's still got a ton of like second side stampede cut juice. And he's still one of the two or three smartest players in the league, in my opinion. And when you add that to what Austin does well, and to how great Luka can be, I do think that you've got sort of this foundational trio of this is a high level of basketball ability in terms of how you want to play offensively. That trio is woefully unprepared to be a good defense or an elite level enough defense.
That's right. They don't have enough athletic juice between the three of them. And you've reached a certain level of salary and all of that where you've got to find that in other players. But then it's that whack-a-mole of like, we've got, remember how you were saying one of your impressions of the OK series? One of the first things you said was that how many one-way players we had that were like defense only that get exposed.
Yes.
What ends up happening when you've got sort of all your best players and money pooled amongst offensive players. You try to make that up with those other guys, but if those guys are in the salary range where they're great athletes, but you can still afford them, they're going to have holes in their skill set that I think that pops up again and again. So my concern with that framework of Luka, LeBron, Austin, even going into next year is like, how do you get to an appropriate level of athletic juice?
I think that this is where, to widen the road, LeBron has to make much less money than what he makes this season. And this is the part of the conversation where none of us are in the room. None of us will know like how this dialogue goes. One of the reasons why I said what I said at the top of the pod about the Heat was because essentially when the Heat got built, they were just like, well, if all three of you guys who are superstar number one option sort of players want to play together, functionally, we can't do that under the salary cap and sign you all to the max. You all need to take a $1 or $2 million haircut in order to play on this team. And the reason why I compared that to the Lakers of next season and why it's important that the Lakers sort of don't wait on a decision from LeBron, and this goes to your discussion about the Lakers side of the discussion being underrepresented, is that to me, the best sales pitch the Lakers could make to LeBron is we've built a championship caliber team.
You want to play on this squad?
And you are the last piece of that. But in order for you to play on this team, this is what's left for you. Now, this amount is not appropriate for you in terms of your standing in the league, in terms of the role you're even going to play on our team, in terms of how important you can be towards team success, both in the regular season, but particularly in the playoffs. We understand that. It's not representative. But if you want to play for the Lakers, and if you want to come back for a 24th season, and if you want to compete for a championship, this is the team that we've built. And we invite you back with open arms. We would love for you to be a part of this organization. It's just got to be at this salary.
How do you think LeBron takes that? I don't know. I genuinely don't know. But basically, you're saying, you're so important to us. We appreciate you so much. And we're going to offer you this contract that's well below what we think is worth. That said, though, Dee, I think you nailed it in terms of what I do think is going to happen. I think the Lakers are going to build the best team that they possibly can and be like, Bron, we would love to have you. You want to join this? And if not, I think part of their argument is your alternatives elsewhere are on this type of contract, too. And
yes,
that's where I think things would settle. But I could also see LeBron being like, man, fuck you guys. Everything I did for this organization, and this is how you treat me out the door, right? So what say you on that angle of things?
At a much lower level, it's like what happened to Trevor Ariza. Trevor Ariza won a championship with the Lakers being a vital cog and an important player for the team. When the Lakers played a little bit of hardball with him in terms of contract negotiations, and were like, well, look, the only money that's really out there for Trevor Ariza is the mid-level exception. If you want to go out there and find a deal at more than the mid-level exception, we have your bird rights. We'll sign you to that too. But we have a feeling you're going to go out there and find a marketplace that only exists for you at the mid-level exception. Trevor Ariza said, fuck you guys. I just won you a championship.
Yeah.
I will go out there and find me that deal. And you know what he did? He went to the Rockets for the mid-level exception, and the Lakers ended up signing Ron Artest for the mid-level exception. The Lakers won another championship the next year. And was Trevor Ariza right to be upset? Like, I suppose.
If he was right, LeBron freaking James has way more right to be upset if that's the premise.
That's what I'm saying. And so there is that element of LeBron being able to say, whoa, 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 whoa. Y'all were in the wilderness, and I found y'all with a kerosene lamp and a compass and a map.
And I got you home.
I brought y'all some water. I had a backpack of canned goods. I had a cast iron Dutch oven. I brought some sleeping bags with me. We camped out, and then we made our way back, and we won a championship, and. And he would not be wrong. And I think the Lakers now are in a position, not with any sort of like malice or disrespect or anything, being able to say, and now 9 years later, we've traded for Luka Doncic. We've helped develop and grow a player in Austin Reeves, who we know that you believe in, and you played a factor in his development. And now we're trying to build the next Lakers championship team that can not only survive next season, but for 5, 6, 7, the next 9 seasons. And I think that that's the messaging. And if LeBron doesn't accept that messaging, he's well within his rights to not accept that messaging. I just don't think the Lakers are in a position to say, well, yeah, we're just going to pay LeBron $25 million next season. We're going to pay Rui whatever they pay Rui. And then we'll go out into the marketplace after who knows what happens with Smart, who knows what happens with Ayton. Let's say Smart opts out, Ayton opts in, and be like, okay, well, this is what we're doing. We're going to run it back to the best that we can. That's not it. I get that they had a great March, and I get that there's great promise in continuity in this group and Luka and vibes and everything else. But when Rob Pelinka basically said that we are proud but not satisfied, there's new ownership overseeing all of this now. And they're not doing what Portland is trying to do in terms of like cut costs. They're building shit out. They're hiring a bunch of people. They are adding on to the practice facility, like medical facilities, and doing all of this player performance stuff. The expectation is that that pride is going to be coupled with satisfaction because the achievement is going to equal that. And they can't go into the offseason and say, well, we're going to center our decision-making around what LeBron James decides to do in his 24th NBA season. I don't say that to sound callous. I say it that you're not building a one-year team. This is one of the key off-seasons in order to build out a roster that you hope can compete for the next 5 years. And it's step one.
You only get clean off-seasons like this with books like this every few years. And so you have to capitalize on that.
The other thing is, too, is that there are real limitations with becoming a cap space team. And it's one of the reasons why many teams don't do it. In order to manufacture yourself, getting back to the cap and above the cap, you have to have a free agent like Austin, whose cap hold is low, but you plan to retain. And then after that, you're like, okay, well, how many of our other free agents are we going to retain? We didn't even talk about Rui in this conversation because it's not, this isn't about him. Part of the way that the Lakers also get to cap space is by renouncing Rui. Rui's cap hold is like $27 million. LeBron and Rui's cap hold together is like $80 million. The decision around LeBron is more, are you going to continue to play? Okay, you'd like to continue to play. I honestly think at that point, the conversation about salary, they have to kick that can down the road and be like, okay, well, we're going to go out and build a team that we hope you would want to join. And I don't know, that's risky. You risk alienating LeBron for sure, Pete. Like, but I don't know another way. Do you know another way?
I don't. And I think that that's been sort of the plan for a minute now, is that this is the offseason to be able to build that team around Luka. And that was the whole point of last offseason, right? Is to sort of kick that can to now.
Would you want LeBron back? Like I said earlier, that almost every version of the team that I'm building next year on my little spreadsheets or whatever involves LeBron in some way, shape, or form. Like, do you want him back?
I do want him back, but I don't want a core of Luka, Austin, and LeBron. I don't think that that's got championship potential. And so I think there needs to be another player in that equation, which means LeBron's making probably $15 million or under. I think building the team for the next several years is super important to do this offseason. And I would love for LeBron to be part of that. But again, I don't think that that's like kind of the focus.
The idea of building out depth, which is something that JJ mentioned, almost requires for this to go the way that we've been discussing, like on the
pod. I'm also very like skeptical about this too. The whole eye toward depth, I'm very skeptical about it. I'm very nervous about how that ends up looking. To be continued, as you said, there's probably 17 pods on this topic alone. That was one of them. We will be back tomorrow to talk about the first time 262-plus win teams have faced in a playoff series in the 21st century. OKC versus San Antonio, game one tonight. We'll talk about it tomorrow, but until then, you've been listening to Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn his double team. Just pass out of front, broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
Yes, Magic got it. Magic fires. It's good. And the Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound to Lowry. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me? Unreal. Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two. One.
Miss it.
Bryant. Unbelievable.
For the victory. It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yeah.
And that was a little tap to Alvin Gentry.
Bad insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Personal finance can feel like a pop quiz you didn't study for. This podcast is your study guide. On NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast, you'll hear from trusted journalists who explain the why behind major financial decisions. You'll get research-backed insights and clear pros and cons, whether you're planning a big purchase or just want to grow your wealth. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.